Welcome to another episode of Tree Talk with myself, Jack Neville, and Matt O'Callaghan of the Weekly Observer and Vale Star. Matt, we move into the final weekend in the group stages of the Senior and Intermediate Football Championships. We kick off tonight with the game of St Sennans versus Brough is the first game of the weekend. There's five tomorrow and then there's eight on Sunday. Looking at the Senior Football Championship, there's Ballysteen are the only team playing this weekend that really don't know their fate to an extent. They play Newcastle tomorrow evening in the Bog Garden. A win or a draw for Ballysteen will do. A loss of less than 12 points will do for them. So you'll be thinking that Ballysteen will have enough to get through, but Trumbrough will be waiting and hoping for a favour off Newcastle.
Yeah, you certainly think that Ballysteen would have should have enough, but I suppose it's a from the competition point of view, Jack. I suppose it's a small bit disappointing that here we are going into the last weekend and we know seven out of the eight quarterfinalists. Certainly that wasn't on the script, but look, we're in strange times and it is what it is. Now I saw Ballysteen just like yourself last week against Drum Bradford. They had never beaten Drum Bradford in the Limerick Senior Football Championship. And by God, they will never come nearer to doing so. Like, they were 8 points up, and I know you're shaking your head there, and rightly so. They were 8 points up, appeared to be in cruise control, but in typical Drum fashion, when the game seemed to be gone from them, got a couple of chances, put over a couple of points, stayed in touch, and then, you know, for some unknown reason, Ballysteen seemed to hit the self-destruct button and had two players black carded in the crucial run-in in the last 10 minutes. And, you know, it'll give you a sense of how important and what a critical time of the game it was, in that one of them was unable to come back because the 10 minutes only elapsed to coincide with the final whistle. So, like, they were numerically challenged. And I suppose maybe in the end, apart from a great effort by Danny Neville, which just tailed off at the last minute, it would have been a superb winning point. Maybe Drumcullough Bradford could have even snatched it at the finish. Now, Ballysteen will really, really have to put this behind them very, very quickly. Seamus O'Donnell would have a big job of work this week to get that out of their system. But, you know, we've said already that Ballysteen have a poor record against Drum Bradford. But, like, they have a decent record in putting Newcastle West to the pin of their collar. And never more so than in the quarterfinal last year, when they were distinctly unlucky that they didn't upset the odds. It's a huge game for them. Drum will be looking for one almighty favour from their great rivals, Newcastle West. If I were a betting man, I certainly can see it happening for Drum. I certainly can see Ballysteen losing by 12 points. I think the game will be quite tight, actually. But I think Newcastle West, they're probably, you know, the experience of winning last year and they've been around the top for so long now. There's such quality, there's such a depth of quality in their side that I think that they'll share this one. But it would be remiss of us not to mention the performance of Danny Neville last weekend. I thought it was an extraordinary top-class performance. He had won two on the board inside the first 3 minutes. His only problem during the game was supply or a lack of supply, because he certainly had the capacity to really, really punish from Bradford. But, you know, that aside, a disappointing result for Ballysteen definitely would have been a landmark first ever victory over Drum Bradford. And they certainly missed the chance. And they will be on an atonement mission this weekend. But I feel that they will do enough to book a place in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, it was certainly a missed chance. But look, we can put it behind us if get the win this weekend. Just a segue onto that game. The two black cards obviously had a huge bearing on the game. How do you feel that black card? Is it too much of a severe punishment, or is it bang on?
It's probably it's probably bang on 10 minutes in the bin. I suppose it is probably bang on, you know, because it was the time that it happened for Ballysteen. And like Drum Bradford had got a certain amount, just a little momentum at that stage, and some of that momentum may have been gained through Ballysteen 8 points up, 20 minutes to go, staring down the barrel of a first win over Drum Bradford. You just wonder psychologically, or on top, did they just think it was job done and took that foot off the pedal a small bit?
Yeah, look, they'll have a chance to atone for that this weekend. Moving on into Group 2 then is actually on Sunday in Newcastle. The meeting of Adair and Father Casey's. It's the first three games really with not much on the line, just top place is up for grabs. You'd fancy Adair, considering Adair was at 16 points as well in the Pearcy. Father Casey's had two. But Casey's will never get beat badly. They'll definitely give enough of it to Adair.
Yeah, I honestly, I was impressed enough with Father Casey's, I have to say, against the Pearcy. They were coming into the game rusty, and the Pearcy had a game under their belts. I thought that Father Casey's, when they were good, they were decent, certainly. Their problem was to be decent for long enough during the course of the 60 minutes. They introduced three or four very exciting newcomers, which has been, I suppose, which we have seen around the county in this competition this year, and which is great. They brought in Eli O'Connor, Eli O'Riordan, and they brought in Shane O'Connell, and they brought in Sean Kilbridge and Dylan Quirk. You know, exciting minors that were part of the county minor winning team last year. But the problem with Father Casey's has been, and we've said this time and time again, is their inability to bring these good players through. They've been winning minor competitions and under 21 competitions and being in the concluding stages of those competitions for fun, literally, over the years, but do not seem to be able to translate it into success at senior level. And you just wonder with this crop, and I certainly was impressed by all four newcomers last weekend. And it was a huge leap of faith, I suppose, on the part of John Colbert, just to put him in. But like I think we paid his faith, and we paid it in spades. Now, Adair, of course, tick all the boxes. You're talking about a side that is wounded. A wounded side that they were stopped in their tracks in the semi-final by Newcastle West last year, in their bid for three in a row. You're right; they really flew out of the traps against the Pearcy. But you know, just putting in a little caveat into this, the Pearcy lost a player to a straight red card midway through the first half, at a stage when they had weathered an early surge by Adair and were coming back into the game. So for three quarters of the game, they were numerically challenged. And you would expect that Adair would hurt them in such circumstances. I think this game is going to be very, very tight again. And your opening remark there about Father Casey's is spot on, like that. Father Casey's have never beaten by too much, you know. And I think Father Casey's, they will have benefited considerably from having the game under their belts, because they certainly, and you were there now, Jack, last weekend, and you saw that it was quite obvious, I suppose, more than any game at the weekend, that they were ring rusty. But, you know, they will shed that. They will have a week to work on the shortcomings. I think it's going to be very tight, but I would have to go with it there.
Yeah, I'd agree with you that Adair are favourites, but just on those young players that came through, the likes of Elia, I was very impressed. It was one of the first times I saw him play with Casey's now. Very impressive minor captain last year. So they will give it to Adair, and it won't be too much between them, but Adair you'd have to favour. And you're looking like avoiding Newcastle then in the quarterfinal is another thing. Unless Ballysteen beat Newcastle, it is another kind of carrot there for the teams. But again, we'll see how it pans out. On Saturday evening, then again, Monaleen versus Galway in Group 3. Both teams are secured their place in the quarterfinals. They both beat St. Kieran's. It was another kind of new-look Monaleen team, kind of like Father Casey's there after bringing through a lot of young lads. How do you think they'll fare against Galway?
Yeah, and you've Moorish Gavin back in charge, and you're talking about you know, Monaleen have been flirting with success at minor and under 21 level for a number of years. A lot of good work going on in Monaleen. It's not too long ago since they sent out a crack minor team that won the Premier Minor Football. I think it was in 2016 or 17, which they defeated Rakeel in the final in the Gaelic Grounds. And some of those players are coming through now. Like that there has to be a reservoir of great talent in Monaleen that has been nurtured through the club. Like, they came into last weekend's game against St. Kieran's, an unknown quantity. First of all, we didn't know what kind of a Monaleen team would feature. It was a Monaleen team that was trying to build up and trying to pick up the pieces of what was a very, very difficult season for them in 2019, when they had only just one win in five, which is untypical Monaleen. And obviously from all reports, I wasn't at the game, but reading the reports of the game, they were quite impressive, and that the scoreboard didn't lie, that they were as comfortable of winners as the scoreboard would suggest. Now, they just scored 11 points, 11 points to 6. It was low scoring. But obviously, St. Kieran's, Galway played St. Kieran's in the first round. And you will recall it was a game of two halves. You had Galway ticking all the boxes in the first half, racing into a 9 points lead at our 8 points lead by halftime. You had St. Kieran's coming out in the second half, reinvigorated. Suffered the loss of a straight red 2 minutes after halftime, and instead of dropping their heads, it actually galvanised them. And Galway at the very finish were hanging on a bit to win by just 2 points. I fancy Monaleen in this, but I've said before. I tipped Galway to beat St. Kieran's, or a possibility that they would beat St. Kieran's, for the simple reason that I felt that Galway were the underachievers of the championship last year. And I'm sticking by that. And I honestly think that Galway will have benefited considerably from the game against St. Kieran's. Jar Fahey, the manager, who's been around quite a bit now with him, and Jerome Stack, the coach, they will have learned quite a piece about their charges in the hot heat of battle in the first round against St. Kieran's. No doubt at all in the second half performance, they have quite a lot to work on. They've had 2 weeks to work on. So it's going to be very, very tight. You know, and I suppose Galway might have one eye, you know, because there is a possibility, you know, that there could be down the line a quarterfinal meeting with Ballylanders in the offing. So, but I'm going for Monaleen in this one.
Yeah, and look, it promises to be another tight and exciting encounter. Obviously, the winners of that will play the losers of Oola versus Ballylanders. They also meet on Saturday evening. Ballylanders beat Galtagales last week. Kind of took them a while to shrug them off. I got there in the end. Oola obviously beat Galtagales the week before. There's a lot of history between the sides. Oola obviously were in the county final last year, but Ballylanders was county final the year before. So again, there should be nothing between the sides.
No, and Ballylanders have a decent record against Oola. I haven't seen Oola this year, but apparently they were impressive in the win over Galtagales. But I saw Ballylanders last weekend, and like really, really for 45 minutes It was a dogged struggle now. It was a real battle. The Gaels really, really put it up to him. In the first half, they were level seven times and ended the half at 7 points apiece. And in the third quarter, there were only two scores, 2 points, both of them in the first minute of immediately after halftime. And the second one came immediately before the referee blew the water break. So, but in between all that time, Galty Gaels really, 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 they camped in the Ballylanders half and really exerted pressure. Now, the Gaels got out of the traps very, very early. Ballylanders fielded three newcomers, three debutants, Per Holian, Killian Mead, and Sean Maloney, and all three were in defence. And like the Gaels got a barnstorming start. Sean McGrath literally careered up from the back, had the ball over the bar inside 20 seconds. But the young lads settled very well. And I think the Ballylanders management of Niall Fitzgerald and his backroom team will be quite happy with the way that they did. First of all, that the trio have bedded in. And if they were ever to get a stubborn test, they certainly got it in the third quarter from Galty Gaels. Last week, and you know, Galty Gaels collapsed in the last quarter, but certainly Ballylanders moved up through the Gaels. Onamani tumbled into the game. They have huge experience in the full forward line, in that they have three survivors from the 2014 county winning team in there, in Jimmy Barry Murphy. We know what Jimmy Barry brings to the team, Owen Walsh and Danny Froome. Now they're facing Oula are going to be a totally different challenge, I sense, to Galty Gaels. You know, while Galty Gaels were winning the Intermediate Football Championship last year, Oula were contesting the County Senior Championship. And like, in fairness, at the outset in 2019, very, very few people would have mentioned, outside of Oula, would have mentioned Oula as possible contenders. And like, certainly, to me, Oula in many ways lit up the championship last year. They were the surprise packet, and everybody was waiting for them to implode. It didn't happen. Went through the group stages with five straight wins. They go into Saturday's game with Ballylanders, having not suffered a defeat in the group stages since 2018. That's the type of record they're bringing. They're a physically very, very strong side. They're a very, very good footballing side. And, you know, they are on a mission. They're on a mission to atone for last year. There's a great tradition of football in Oula. Richie English lost to the Limerick Senior Hurling Team, to the Doon Senior Hurling Team. Also a big loss to the Oula Senior Football Team. But they have some very physically strong players. And they have forwards that at crucial stages can really hurt them, really come into their own. And we saw that during the championship last year. This one is going to be tight. For them coming into the game over 12 months and slightly this year favours Oula, but I wouldn't be surprised for Ballylanders to upset the odds there.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see now how Oula will have managed that gap. Ballylanders obviously will be going from week to week, which I think most teams would prefer. But nonetheless, they're both true. We'll see them again in the quarterfinals. There's also a relegation semi-final this weekend in the Senior Football Championship, just the one. Galty Gaels for St Kieran's at 1 o'clock in Kilmallock. Again, it's going to be streamed live on Lumetri TV. Obviously, it's a very different 2020 for these teams as opposed to their 2019 when Galty Gaels won intermediate and St Kieran's will probably rue not reaching the senior final. They're both in relegation danger now with a semi-final this Sunday. How do you see this one panning out?
They will. And it's hard to know which one of the two is the bigger fall from grace. In fairness to Galty Gaels, they're a side that have come up and are a side that are trying to consolidate at senior ranks. And like, there is an imperative for Galty Gaels to survive in this, their first year up. They're obviously disappointed with the situation that they find themselves in. Like, circumstances haven't helped Gaelty Gaels. We've said this a number of times, and it has been written about that the challenge that they face on a daily basis through lack of numbers. It's a very, very small area. It's a very, very rural area. But that has been compounded this year in particular by the loss of players. When you make try to make the transition from intermediate to senior, you want all hands on the deck. You want all top players on board. Now, they have been deprived of two of their full-back line of last year through injury. Ian Whelan and Maurice O'Sullivan was man of the match in the county intermediate final. Massive full-back, huge loss to him. They're also short Sean Casey, a very decent forward, a scoring forward, who's gone to Australia. And one or two players have lost for him. Now, they have been forced into a situation of playing Padraig McGrath, full-back. Man who brought tremendous energy around the middle third and was the catalyst for an awful lot of the good things that they did last year. So, like, John McGrath and his management team have faced huge challenges. I suppose in terms of personnel, the opposite could be nearly said of St. Kieran's, because we were talking at the outset of the competition, the narrative was about St. Kieran's being without key players, Dara Tracy and Sean McSweeney. That has been half rectified in that Dara Tracy has returned, and having done his bunt in, lined out in the last game, and I have no doubt will line up again against the Gaels on Sunday. It's very, very disappointing from a St. Kieran's point of view. They were very, very impressive last year in reaching the semi-final. And you will recall in that semi-final in the Gaelic grounds, I think you and I were there together, Jack. It was it was streamed. On 45 minutes that evening, it was touch and go. And like, if you were to put your money on anybody, I suppose at that stage, you'd put it on Kieran's. What I mentioned earlier, it was the sheer physical power and stamina of Ula, that came to the fore, and they ran out, they crafted a couple of great goals, and ended St. Kieran's hopes. I think that St. Kieran's will probably save their bacon on Sunday. I think they will win the game. But after one hell of a test from the Gaels.
Yeah, I saw Gaelic Gaels now in their first game against Ula. I didn't see them last week now, but I was very impressed with them against Ula. They kind of ran out of steam. And I don't know, I wasn't in against Bedlanders last week, but they kind of seemed to run out of steam again, or else Bedlanders came into the game. I think if they can put a 60-minute performance in, they will push Kieran's all the way and have the capabilities of beating them. But you would say the experience in St. Kieran's should steer them to safety. And then obviously Gaelty Gaels will be in relegation final, where they'll play one of Drumbradford and Pearsig or Ballysteen. That'll be a clearer picture this weekend. Moving on to the Intermediate Football Championship, we had a game on Wednesday night. Our Griffins booked their place in the quarterfinals. In Group 1 this weekend, you've Rakeel versus Clahan. Rakeel beat Mount Collins in their first game, and Mount Collins Clahan drew. So that means Rakeel are through. Clahan need a draw or a win to go through alongside them. That's played on Sunday in Adair. How do you see that one going?
It'll be interesting. I suppose Clahan, of course, because of the positive test, their campaign has been thrown into a certain amount of this disarray, which has compelled them to play two games in quick succession in 4 or 5 days. Now, they seem to have put themselves in a winning position on Tuesday night, which was a very, very poor night for football. Conditions were very, very poor. And they seemed, in the first half, obviously, when they had the elements to their back, they looked to have a match-winning lead. I think there was something like 3-5 to 1-3 up. But lo and behold, Mount Collins used the elements in the second half and came back and levelled it at the finish, and which was a very, very good result for Mount Collins, because you must remember that Clahan tend more than any club to vary from year to year, and it's certainly in personnel. But last year, Clahan had a smashing season during the group stages, in which they won four and drew the other game before eventually going out to Gerald Griffin's in the semi final. Obviously, they have the permutations are such that Clahan need either a win, of course, which would be ideal, or a draw, or lose the game by 9 points. It's something similar. The permutations are something similar to that of Newcastle West and Ballysteen in the senior, only that it's 9 points rather than 12. Clahan, obviously, after the long day off, even though it's only 4 day, 5 day turnaround, they will have learned quite a bit from it. They will have got rid of the ring rustiness, but Ratkeel, like, they were the side that many people fancied last year, but they just in that quarter final against St. Kieran's, and we repeat it again, 6 points up, 10 minutes left. Quarter final against Gerald Griffin's, 6 points up, 10 minutes to go, and Gerald Griffin's come out and kick 7 points and knock them out of the championship. That would be uppermost in their mind. They are on a mission. Like that. It's a very, very, very talented Ratkeel side, and I think Ratkeel will share this one, and that they will go into the knockout stages with 2 wins under their belts.
Yeah, I'd agree with you, and I would be surprised if Ratkeel aren't thereabouts at the end of the season. Joe Griffin's caught him last year. It was a game Ratkeel lost more than Joe Griffin's won, and the previous year, I thought Ratkeel are the better team against Galbally in the intermediate final. We've seen how Galbally progressed in the senior. So I think Ratkeel are one of the teams to watch in that group, or in this championship as a whole. In group two, then you have the meeting of Palace Green and St. Pat's. It's a winner-take-all clash, really. They were both beaten by Joe Griffin's. Pat's marginally during the week. Palace Green lost comprehensively last weekend. Looking at the results against Joe Griffin's, you'd have to fancy Pat's.
Yeah, you would have to fancy Pats, and certainly I suppose if there was a surprise in the first round, it wasn't a surprise victory or defeat. It was a surprise at the margin of which Gerald Griffin's defeated Palace Green, because Palace Green are traditionally great warriors in this competition, and. You know, you would always get a sense that Palace Green would be among the front runners. Now, Pats are in their second year at this level, having been relegated at the end of 2018. By God, they really put it up to Gerald Griffin's during the week. There's a bit of a history between these clubs. Both of them have been playing senior football up to recently. I think Palace Green were relegated, was it in 2016, and Pats in 2018. So, like, both will have a core of players that will have experience of playing senior football. The only barometer that we really have to make a judgment on is the respective games against Gerald Griffin's, and I suppose on that basis, you would have to go for St. Pat's. St. Pat's are already embroiled in relegation struggle in the intermediate hurling, and I suppose they certainly won't want a second relegation struggle. But strictly on the basis of their performance against Gerald Griffin's, they were apparently very unlucky. Like they were leading by 2 points with time running out, and Griffin's got 4 points. You have to go for Pats.
You would have to favour Pats, but again, it promises to be a close game. In Group 3 then, which is the game tonight, St. Sennans versus Brough in McNeville Park. St. Sennans need a win or draw to go through. Brough, if they win by 9 points, they'll go through alongside Glynn, who they lost the last weekend, and St. Sennans will crash out. From what I've seen, it's highly unlikely that St. Sennans won't go through, and be surprising if they don't get the win tonight against Brough.
I think it will. I fancy Glynn last week going into the game against Brough. I thought their backs were to the wall, and that, you know, it was one of those games that you probably targeted and said, right, look, focus everything in on this, and obviously they did, and got a good win. But it has left Brough in a very, very difficult situation in terms of staying afloat in the championship. Now, I was looking through the respective teams, and I was comparing the Brough team in particular with the Brough Premier Intermediate team, and you'd have to say, possibly apart from Dunroo and Ballylanders, that the crossover in players is quite considerable in Brough, with the amount of junior players that's involved. And they have a huge, massive county semi-final coming up the following weekend against Kildare Palace Kenry. So, like, the Brough have left themselves in a very, very difficult situation. Like, had they beaten Glen last weekend, it would be clear cut. They would have been through, and Glen would have been out. The permutations that you said are absolutely correct, but I cannot see it coming to pass. I think it's going to be very, very difficult for Brough to get the win. I fancy St. Sennans. You must remember 12 months ago that St. Sennans were playing senior football. You must remember that 2 years ago, St. Sennans, in their first year back at senior level, came so tantalisingly close to making a quarter-final place. So, like, there's a hard core of experience there. They will have been hurt by last year's relegation. They will have felt that they haven't done themselves justice, particularly in 2019, and they will be up to make amends for it this year. I would have sent Sennans among the front runners for intermediate championship honours this week or this year, and this week I just cannot see them slipping up.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there on that. A loss for Brough will see them into relegation semi-final against Mona Lean, who are definitely in relegation semi-final from Group 4. In Group 4, Munger St. Paul's meet Kildare Palace to see who finishes top of that group. They're both they're both true after wins over Mona Lean. Hopefully it'll be as good as the hurling clash they had 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, the hurling clash 3 weeks ago, I suppose, it was the ideal one to kickstart the Premier Intermediate Championship. It was an absolutely memorable game, a classic game of hurling. I can say with a lot of confidence at this point, Jack, that it won't. It looks Kildare, they've got the win now. They've secured their place in the knockout stages. It's only their second win. They were promoted as Junior A champions in 2018. And it's only the second win that they have picked up in six games in the group stages since they came up. The win was enough last year to save their skin. The win this year is enough to do it as well. But whether they can drive on or not is another thing, because we mentioned it a while ago, they have a huge game coming up against Brough and in the Premier Intermediate. And there is a considerable crossover of a number of key players there. So, the only barometer we have is the respective performances of the teams against Mona Lean. And on that judgment alone, all the pointers are towards Munger St. Paul's, who were huge winners over Mona Lane, while Skildiamond Palestinery just got over them by 2 points. But I know it won't pan out that way. But Bungert St. Paul's have been there or thereabouts for the last couple of years, beaten in the semi-final an extra time last year by Galty Gales. They will be fairly focused on going one better. Now, they have a certain element of crossover, but not as much as the others playing hurling and football. I am going for Mungert St. Paul's to win this one and finish the job.
Yeah, I saw Mungert and Kildare actually both played Ballysteen in challenge games in recent weeks. I was actually impressed with both teams, but going on form and having seen Mungert a couple of times also, they look like their focus this year heads are screwed in. And they were so close to beating Galty Gales last year in the semi-final. You'd have to fancy Mungert move into the quarterfinals top of the table. On the Junior A Championship this weekend, the group stage won't be finished this weekend. There's obviously been a lot of postponements, walkover, etc. Again, an alarming team coming from the competition, and Group 4 in particular. Atay were 9-23, the 5-point winners over Hostel Orbistown. It's just an incredible result. And obviously from Atay, it's brilliant, but it's alarming, to say the least, for Hostel Orbistown.
It's alarming. We spoke about it last week. I just don't know what has gone wrong with Hospital Helberstown. It's not too long since they were playing intermediate football. It's not too long since they were playing senior football. It's not too long since they were winning football championships. I just simply cannot put my finger on it. Group 4 is very lopsided in that Rory have put up two very poor performances again. Now, what does it say? Does it say about the weaknesses of Hospital Helberstown and Rory? Or does it talk about the strengths of Atay, who you must remember are unlucky to be relegated last year, and Newcastle West? So, but overall, from a competition point of view, it is so disappointing. And you know, you had another one-sided game enough again last night in the Crocodile Manister had a big win over a hand, 2-13 to 4 points. In fairness, in a competitive competition, we shouldn't be getting those kind of results. The county board certainly are on the right track in reducing it to 4. I'd say with a view to having 2 sixes. I just wonder, should they reduce it to 8 and have a competition similar to the Premier Intermediate Championship? Because certainly either Bury or Hospital Helberstown have to survive, because there's only one being relegated. They meet on Sunday, and that will be decided then. But you just have to wonder about the fitness of the one that will survive going forward. And we've similar situations in other groups, but that particular group, it crystallizes more than any the problems with the Junior A Football Championship in the county.
Yeah, it's definitely the right step. Reducing it, it'll be 12 next year. Again, if there's results like this, they might move it to 8 to the Premier Intermediate Hurling Championship. But there is teams going well in it. You'll have Ballybrown and Monaghan will meet this weekend to see who finishes top table. They both have wins. Obviously, Newcastle and Atay will play to see who finishes top. And Drumbrawford and Hand is the other game. But again, this championship is far from over. There's games on next weekend and the weekend afterwards. So we'll just see how that goes. Obviously, again, this weekend, you have the final round in the group stages of the Ladies Football Championship. The big clash on Sunday is Ballylanders with St. Aylby's in Group 1. It's kind of winner-take-all, with three teams in the group move on into the knockout stages, but the top team go into the semi-final. St. Aylby's obviously are champions, but it isn't too long since Ballylanders put a couple back-to-back.
No, 6 teams are in the Limerick Ladies Football Senior Championship, as you rightly said, divided into groups of 3, with the top 2 going through to the semi-finals, and the other the other two teams in each group qualifying for a quarterfinal places. So basically, the group stages was about playing games and deciding on places 1, 2, 3. It's a huge game on Sunday between Ballylanders and St. Elby's, and it's on in Ballylanders. Now, Ballylanders up to 2017 had completed 3 in a row, were going for 4 in a row when they were beaten by Monaghan. Last year, Monaghan in turn were beaten by St. Elby's in a cracking final in Brough. So this is a huge game. Now, it's a huge game for the team that will win it and get momentum more than anything, because the consolation prize for the loser anyway is a quarter-final place. And sometimes going direct to a semi-final can be a quite chalice. But it would look as if the loser of this game, by my calculations, will be playing the loser of Old Mill and St. Bridget's. I think that's the way it is. Fiona Castlemahan will be playing the winner of Old Mill and St. Bridget's, and we'll talk about that in a second. Now, Elvis and Ballylanders have both beaten Fiona Castlemahan. Ballylanders in the first round, the more convincingly, they have regrouped this year. They're focused, they're very determined to try and win back that title. But having said that, it's a very, very strong St. Elby's team. They won a great championship last year. They have a very, very strong squad. I think this will be very, very tight. Could possibly be decided by the fact that it's in Ballylanders on Sunday at 2:30. Maybe home advantage will count. I slightly go for Ballylanders.
A totally unbiased decision there by Matt O'Callaghan. And obviously, as you mentioned, in Group 2, then you have Old Mill versus St. Bridget's.
That's on Old Mill now. Both have played Monaghan. Both have given creditable performances against Monaghan. Because again, Monaghan are one of the real strong sides in it. And Old Mill, of course, they were intermediate champions last year. And, you know, they will be looking to really consolidate their position at this level. This is one that could go either way. St. Bridget's have been around the block quite a bit. Have a decent side, have a decent squad. It's a game that could go either way, Jack.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. And after 3 weekends now, we'll certainly know more about a lot more with championships. We'll obviously have all the quarterfinal pairings in the senior football championship. We'll have one team will be in the relegation final. We'll have the other relegation semi-final pairing. We'll have all those pairings in the intermediate football championship. The junior A will continue, and next week we'll have the return of hurling with the quarterfinals in the senior semi-finals from intermediate, quarterfinals intermediate. So it's a cracking final weekend of football leading into the knockout stages in the hurling, as the championship just rolls on so quickly.
Yeah, it has rolled on so quickly, and as we said at the outset, it's a little disappointing that there isn't more riding on the games this weekend, you know, because of the configuration of the results to date, that it certainly wasn't in the script, but the randomness of the draw, nobody can do anything about it. It wasn't in the script that going into the final day that you would have 7 out of 8 places decided, that you would have 3 out of 4 of the relegation spots decided. And were it not for Derry McCarthy's late penalty for Drum Broadford, there would be nothing, very little to be decided altogether, because we would have 8 quarterfinalists, we'd have the 4 relegation playoff sides. So that is this disappointing, but it's all leading in. The whole dynamic changes after this weekend, Jack, because we're into the cut and thrust of knockout. Knockout hurling first, and to be followed in by football in due course.
Yeah, then it's exciting times, but it has been.
Know, we just cannot wait at this stage for knockout.
Yeah, but it has been an excellent 5 weeks so far of Limerick championship in both football and hurling. Please God, we'll have a brilliant 6-1 to round it off. Obviously, it'd be better if there was more riding on these games. But looking at the teams like Adair, Casey's, Monleen, Galbally, Ula, and Bedlanders, they're certainly not going to give an inch of their games. So they'll be around to go.
Yeah, it certainly would be. It's a bit disappointing that, as you said, that there isn't more riding on it, but it is what it is. But look, Jack, if we were told this back in April, we'd have grabbed it with both hands. We're absolutely delighted that games are being played. Oops. It again that people just cannot get in to see them, but the regulations are the regulations, and of course the regulations are for all good, but it's very, very hard to reconcile the regulations that are applicable to sporting fixtures with some of the regulations and guidelines that are applicable to other events. But that is outside of our control. But we certainly have had 5 very exciting weeks of hurling and football, and the best is yet to come, Jack.
Yeah, it is, and we look forward to it. Again, many thanks to you, Matt, and enjoy your weekend. And for anyone that obviously we can't go to the games on Sunday, it'll be streamed Galtigale or St. Kieran's from Kilmallock from 1 o'clock on Limerick TV. Thank you very much.